This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Research shows that maintaining a cash bail system for people accused of crimes who are then locked up may keep those folks behind bars simply because they can't afford to pay. Many of these inmates are nonviolent offenders. There is movement afoot to address this. The city of Cincinnati recently eliminated cash bail for individuals charged with nonviolent misdemeanors. And the states of Ohio and Kentucky are exploring legislation as well. But not everyone is on board with bail reform. So let's talk about it. Joining Cincinnati Edition today are Professor of Law and Associate Dean for Professional Development at Chase College of Law at Northern Kentucky University, Jennifer Kensley. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thanks so much for having me.
University of Cincinnati Blue Ash Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice, Wendy Calloway. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Cincinnati City Councilman P.G. Sittenfeld. Welcome, P.G.
Good to be here, and happy three-month anniversary hosting the show, Michael.
I appreciate that, Councilman. Thank you very much. Join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at WVXU.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at 917WVXU. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those in the show as well. P.G., let's just start with you about what the city of Cincinnati has done exactly. Explain to us the move that the city made.
Yeah, sure. So very specifically, and I just want to acknowledge out of the gate, I've really played the role of conduit in this, but the brains of the operation are Wendy Calloway, who's with us, Jennifer Kinsley, who's with us, and Dorian Mason from the Ohio Justice and Policy Center, a third attorney who's not with us. They came to me not that long ago, maybe 3 months or so, and said, help us take a concrete step to make Cincinnati and to make Hamilton County a more just, a more fair community. And as you sort of said in your introductory remarks, having this system where no matter what you are accused of having done, if you're wealthy and have means, you can go free. And if you're not, you sit incarcerated pre-trial, pre-being convicted of anything, you sit having your freedom taken away. It's a pretty fundamentally unfair system. The way this works, and again, I just want to acknowledge that I've been taught what I now know by Wendy and Jennifer and others, the city of Cincinnati has a, you know, significant prosecution division. They only prosecute misdemeanor crimes. So at the point when, you know, there's a certain point in the process when the prosecutors will make a recommendation about what bail should be set at to the judge, who ultimately makes the decision, but, you know, what the prosecutors recommend carries significant weight. We have now adopted, it is now the official practice of the city of Cincinnati, that our prosecutors for nonviolent misdemeanors are exclusively recommending OR bond, which is own recognizance release, basically translates to $0 bond, so that someone isn't sitting in jail, again, before being convicted of anything, before they've had trial, for as little as $100. And while that's going on, maybe they're not accessing medications they need. Maybe they're losing their job. They're being separated from their family. So trying to take a meaningful first step, which won't be the last step, to rectify what's kind of fundamentally an unfair system.
Was there pushback from prosecutors on this?
It's interesting, and I hope with Wendy and Jennifer we can get into this. The only pushback, I mean, frankly, we stood with a very diverse coalition of Democrats and Republicans when we first made this announcement, former federal prosecutor, current city prosecutor. So there was sort of a various consensus. I'm a Democrat, got a lot of praise from the right on this. This is sort of where left social justice advocates meet right fiscal conservatives saying, why are we also wasting hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money? The one thing that maybe we can talk about a little bit later, Joe Dieters wrote, you might call it a rebuttal as an op-ed in the newspaper saying, well, we don't do this anyway, which I think Wendy and Jennifer might have some sort of rebuttal to that rebuttal. But it was interesting that I would kind of like to piggyback off Joe saying, we're not doing this anyway, to say, well, if that's the case, adopt our policy. The city has set a new standard. Hamilton County, Joe Dieters, your office, we're looking for you to do the same thing next. We'd love for that to be a next outgrowth of where we've started.
And we're going to get into some of the research that Jennifer and Wendy did to lead to this legislation in the city. Before we do that, though, PG, I'm curious, what type of testimony did you hear from citizens in Cincinnati who had been adversely affected by this system?
Yeah, sure. I mean, and again, this is because they've been former clients, and especially Dorian Mason, who's not here with the Ohio Justice and Policy Center, people who this has a very serious consequence. I mean, there's nothing theoretical or abstract about this. If you can't afford to even meet bail of $100 and you then lose your freedom, you are incarcerated when the only difference between you and someone else is that person had means. The overwhelming response we got from the community is, We're not a city where we want to criminalize poverty. And that's at the essence of this issue.
513-419-7100 is the number to call. Wendy, Jennifer, we heard PG reference this. Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters wasn't enthusiastic about the legislation adopted by Cincinnati City Council. What was your response to his reaction, Wendy?
Well, he came out publicly and said that basically Hamilton County doesn't hold people who can't afford to pay their bond. And we know that that's inaccurate. I've been a practicing criminal defense attorney for 20 years, and I've stood with people in Room A when their bond was set and knew that they were there charged for a theft offense or a trespass or some other low-level offense, and that if any dollar amount was set, that they were going to have to sit in jail until their trial date. And so I have personal experience having represented people who are in that situation. We know that over 60% of the people who are in the Justice Center today are there because they can't afford to pay their bond. They haven't been convicted of any crime, and it's inconsistent with our notions of justice and the presumption of innocence that is guaranteed to all citizens. So we would like the Hamilton County Prosecutor to come to the table and work with us. We have a significant problem of people losing their homes, losing their children, losing their jobs because they are held in the Justice Center because they can't pay their bail. And we appreciate the councilman and city council and the city prosecutor's office in taking this important step forward.
Jennifer, you're from NKU Chase College of Law, and Wendy is from UC Blue Ash's Criminal Justice Program. How did you all connect and begin to explore this issue together?
So I also have been a practicing criminal defense lawyer for over 20 years, and Wendy and I met each other that many years ago when we were both working at the Hamilton County Public Defender's Office. But we began to wrap our head around the bail reform problem about 3 years ago. We had both attended different conferences where this was an issue, and we became aware of some science and some data and some litigation efforts elsewhere that we thought we could replicate here in Cincinnati and Hamilton County. And as we dove deeper into the issue, we began to understand the phenomenon in really different ways. And I think one problem that we encountered early on is really the lack of sufficient data. So Hamilton County does keep track of daily how many people it is locking up, but it doesn't segregate those people based on the reason that they are incarcerated. So we don't know, for example, the exact number of people on any given day who are there because they cannot bail their way out. We can make some educated guesses, but we don't have a specific number. And that's because our systems here in Hamilton County are not keeping that data.
So what did you find in terms of the economic impact on the county budget, the jail budget, the cities?
Yeah. So Hamilton County spends over $29 million a year on the Justice Center. So that's $29 million of taxpayer money that is going to lock up people. And I looked just on Tuesday, so 2 days ago, and I can tell you that as of 2 days ago, only 32% of the 1,500 people that Hamilton County was locking up were there because they had a criminal sentence to be there. So over 60% of those people were there because they could not buy their way out of jail.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones now. We have Joseph on the line. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. What's your question or comment?
Oh, I was just saying, I was at the Hamilton County Justice Center last year. I was wanted on a nonviolent misdemeanor. I ended up sitting in there for about a month. My bond was $700. I watched people with more serious charges than me pay their bonds and go free. And I just really agree with this legislation. I think it's a great step in the right direction, and it's long overdue. And I'm proud of the city for making it happen.
Well, Joseph, let me ask you, you were in there for a month because you could not post the $750 bond?
Yes, that's correct. I had a history of struggling with opiate addiction. I ended up going to treatment afterwards and going to transitional living. But yes, I could not pay my $700. So I sat there in a month. I kept getting shuffled in and out of court dates, trying to find out, you know, trying to see how I could contest the case. And eventually they just got me to plea out, which is what they usually do, is they just get you to plea out to a charge so that, you know, you have a chance of getting out. That's what they used to do anyway.
Did you want to plead guilty?
No, I didn't. I actually, I went to court probably 4 or 5 times. I said that I was not guilty. Basically, my friend had taken my car. He had my keys in his possession and everything. It was kind of a convoluted mess, but my attorney basically told me, if you lose, you will do a year and a half of county time. And I said, oh my God, I could not even fight my case without reprisal. I mean, I could not contest my case, which I was, you know, felt very strongly I was innocent of, without having this really heavy penalty hanging over my head. So I just said, you know, well, you know, I guess just ask for a deal. And ultimately that's what he did. And I still had quite a punishment to deal with. But
well, Joseph, we appreciate you calling in and sharing your story with us. Thanks so much.
Yeah, Joseph, I would echo the thanks for calling and sharing your story. And Michael, I think that really kind of cuts to the heart of the issue. Joseph didn't sit in jail, his freedom taken away for a month because what he may or may not have done. He was in jail for one reason, and that's that he, like so many other members of the community here in Cincinnati and Hamilton County, didn't have $700 sitting around. And it gets to the essence, again, of a system where you criminalize poverty. And, you know, I mean, we've said this before, we'll say it again, affluence doesn't equal innocence, nor does not having money equal guilt. So, you know, we really appreciate him sharing his story. And that's the exact sort of thing we need to correct. And, well, we're glad to have taken this step forward for the city and our own prosecution division. We look for the county and their prosecutor's office to step up as well.
Well, not everyone is in support of the legislation adopted by Cincinnati and that is being considered elsewhere. We heard opposition to bail reform from American Bail Coalition Executive Director Jeff Clayton. I spoke with him earlier. Let's listen. Jeff Clayton, we appreciate you taking some time to talk with us today.
You bet.
So you represent the American Bail Coalition. Tell us what your organization's interest is in this issue.
Sure. So the American Bail Coalition is a trade association of underwriters, insurance companies of bail agents throughout the country. So we are the kind of the main trade association for the bail industry, national.
So locally here in Cincinnati, a city councilman, P.G. Sittenfeld, filed a motion to reform the city of Cincinnati's methods for requesting bail for people accused of crimes. It proposes that the city prosecutors will adopt a new standard of recommending no bail for people accused of nonviolent misdemeanors. Is this something you oppose?
Well, it would depend. I think, you know, depending on the exceptions, I think judges always need to have the power to say enough is enough. So if you've had a guy who's come in and failed to appear, say, 27 times, and a judge wants to do bail, then I think that's necessary. To say that there should be a blanket rule that there should never be any bail and any nonviolent misdemeanors, you know, we think would be a problem.
So you would possibly be in favor of a motion that would limit the number of times someone is eligible not to post bail?
Yeah, or something like a presumption against where, you know, a prosecutor or a judge, if they had kind of a, you know, a frequent flyer or repeat person who just never shows up, that they would have the option to do bail in those cases. So I would preserve judicial and prosecutorial discretion rather than having a blanket rule.
Let me read a quote from Councilman P.G. Sittenfeld. He said, quote, "We know that the inequities in our justice system more severely impact people who are low income and who are from communities of color. To be the fair, just, beloved community that we want to be, we need to face these challenges head on." He also notes a statistic that suggests what he calls an inefficient bail system costs taxpayers an average of $69 per day to house a person in the Hamilton County Justice Center. And he provided research that shows that on any given day, at least 60% of the people in the Hamilton County Detention Center are there because they could not post bail. Are these statistics that you see frequently? Is there anything that you take issue with there?
Yeah, I do. There's no way that there's 60% of the people are sitting on unposted bails. Most of those people have other holds, and that's what we see nationally is people just take the population of persons who are in jail and who haven't been yet either pled or convicted and say that they can't post bail, which is false. And so I'd like to see them actually tease out why people are in there and what the other holds are. And the other thing to keep in mind is the prior criminal histories. That's what judges are looking at. If the guy has 9 prior felonies, even if it's a low-level misdemeanor, that's what judges are looking at. So I'd like to see what the criminal history profile is of the persons who are sitting in there.
We're talking specifically today about legislation at the city level, but there have also been pieces of legislation presented in legislatures across the country that are similar in nature. Why do you think we're seeing this recent rush to push legislation like this through?
Well, it's really kind of started in 2013, really, and kind of gained momentum. I think we're on the backside of it right now. Really, it was the push to the no money bail system to go to the federal system, what people in New York call the cashless bail system. And I think the pushback is real, and the movement to go to that is starting to wane a little bit. And that's not to say that we can't make progress. And if you go to our website, ambailcoalition.org, and click the fourth generation of bail reform, we lay out what we think can address some of these problems.
What is the benefit of the of the entities that make up the American Bail Coalition? What service is it that they provide to people who are facing criminal charges?
Well, we underwrite the bail agents, so we don't actually post the bails or anything like that. But what we do is make sure that the bail agents are able to guarantee to the state that the person either appears or they pay. And so we oversee the work of bail agents. Bail agents themselves help people get out of jail, and they help them get away from the state pending trial. In other words, to get away from things like supervision and other things like probation that the state would want to put somebody on if they didn't post bail.
Jeff Clayton, we appreciate your time today.
You got it.
Thanks so much. And that was Jeff Clayton, the executive director of the American Bail Coalition, speaking to me earlier. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We've got a panel here that wants to react to Mr. Clayton's remarks. We're going to let you do that after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The city of Cincinnati recently changed its cash bail system for inmates charged with nonviolent misdemeanors. Now the states of Ohio and Kentucky are weighing similar options. We continue now with Professor of Law and Associate Dean for Professional Development at Chase College of Law at Northern Kentucky University, Jennifer Kinsley, University of Cincinnati Blue Ash Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice, Wendy Calloway, and Cincinnati City Councilman P.G. Sittenfeld. Join our conversation at 513-419-7100. That's a different number than the Fund Drive number, so don't call here, although we will be able to transfer you if you make that mistake, but 513-419-7100 if you want to join our conversation. When last we left you, we heard some remarks from Jeff Clayton, the executive director of the American Bail Association, and I get the feeling that y'all want to say something about what he had to say, so let's hear it.
Well, I'll start. Mr. Clayton is on the wrong side of this issue, and he's on the wrong side for two reasons. First, ideologically, he is supporting a wealth-based detention system, which almost no one does. Even prosecutors who provide some resistance to our ideas are not in favor of wealth-based detention. Mr. Clayton represents a group of companies who make money off the bail system, the bail bondsmen. And so he wants to continue the system in place so that they can continue to make money off of poor people who aren't able to post their bond. But the idea that somebody should be held in jail because they're poor is fairly repugnant to most Americans. And so from that perspective, he's just wrong on the issue. But he's also wrong practically. We know that when we require people to sit in jail, or even if they have to wait in jail for a few days to pay their bond, positive outcomes decrease. So the likelihood that they will be successful at trial decreases. Recidivism rates go up, which means the likelihood that people will go out into the community and commit crimes, that increases. And then there's obviously negative outcomes to jobs, housing, all of those things that people suffer when they can't post their bond. And so we oppose his stance for a number of reasons, but the fundamental one is it's just antithetical to our notions of justice.
I also want to add that Mr. Clayton's position is not supported by the current social science research. So as Wendy, my colleague, indicated, failure to appear rates actually increase the longer a person is held in pretrial detention. And that makes some intuitive sense, right? So if somebody is locked up for a period of time, they're going to suffer these destabilizing consequences, and they lack a support system. So when they do ultimately get out, they are not able to return to court. There are some alternatives for this that we see having a lot of impact across the country. So, for example, text reminder systems are highly effective at having people return to court, and they're very cost effective. So compared to the $29 million that Hamilton County taxpayers spend locking people up pretrial, instead they could spend about $20,000 on a software system that would generate text reminders of people's court dates. Bus fare tickets are also being used in some jurisdictions, and those are really effective as well. So if we give people the tools and mechanisms they need to come back to court, the chances are they are going to. And I also want to point to our neighbor in Kentucky who is doing doing something right. So Kentucky, for a long time, has eliminated the system of cash bail by getting rid of bail companies like those represented by Mr. Clayton. So since 1976, the state of Kentucky has banned bail bondsmen, and they have really excellent rates in terms of failure to appear and public safety rates in the wake of getting rid of bail.
And Michael, just to piggyback on one thing Jennifer just said, you know, again, robust research shows that a policy of releasing nonviolent misdemeanor defendants while their cases are being resolved poses no greater threat to them not showing up in court or to public safety in general. And while we are all grateful that NPR and WVXU, in its thoughtfulness and sort of orientation toward balance, would find dissenting voices, it really needs to be highlighted again that this is one of the sort of, I wish there were more areas in our society today where right and left are coming together for divergent reasons. Again, fiscal conservatism meets social justice in this one. But one of my Republican colleagues, we ended up getting, which even exceeded my expectation, a unanimous vote on my legislation through the city council. One of my Republican colleagues, standing at the press conference when we first rolled out this bail reform legislation, said, this isn't a partisan issue, it's a human issue. So I think Mr. Clayton is probably, I hate to say it, speaking to his own self-interest, not what's actually good for, again, the fair kind of communities that we want to build all across the country.
We heard from the caller earlier, Joseph, who said he spent about a month in the Hamilton County Detention Center because he could not post a $750 bond for the misdemeanor that he was charged with, didn't quite understand what the charge might have been. But what tends to be the circumstances for these folks who end up locked away in the county jail for an extended period of time and they're not able to make a bail? What's their situation?
Lots of things. So, I mean, it can be anything from a first-time offender who has maybe a drug possession charge that they set the bond at $5,000 and they don't have the money to post that. And so they are ultimately going to get probation for that charge, even if they get convicted. So they could be innocent, go to trial, and be acquitted of the charge. But even if they get convicted, they're going to get probation for that. But if they can't pay their bond, they sit in jail for months, sometimes up to a year, waiting for that case to get resolved. And so that's a typical example of things that you see a lot in the Justice Center. There are people there on drug charges, simple nonviolent possession charges that can't pay their bail. There's obviously lots of others, but that's something that we see a lot.
So you hear about people being locked up, and you know, the public's mind may differ on why they're in there. Maybe they deserve to be in there. Maybe they're facing a charge that we're not sure of. But there was an op-ed in the Cincinnati Inquirer back in March. In our final minute here, I want to make sure I get this reference in. It was written by Matt Wallert, a North College Hill city councilman, and he noted a recent study by the Buckeye Institute that he says put a human face to some of the most egregious examples of the overreach of our pay-to-play cash bail system. Buckeye told of a Dayton man who served 11 days for violating the transit authority's dress code by having baggy pants, an Ohio man who served 4 days awaiting disposition on jaywalking and public intoxication, and a Clevelander who spent a week in jail for failure to pay a traffic ticket. All three sat in jail cells at the expense of taxpayers because they could not post a modest bail, he said. So I'm curious how you all, when you're out there talking about this issue, you're able to help people not be confused about the level of charges that these folks are facing in our last 30 seconds here.
Well, we try to emphasize the idea that people are innocent, that they are in there and they have the legal presumption of innocence. So we don't want the police to be the judge, jury, and sentencer when they make the decision to arrest someone.
Also, our local statistics show that over half of people who encounter the criminal justice system in Hamilton County are there for misdemeanors and not any sort of violent offense.
And that op-ed said it well. What taxpayer wants their hard-earned tax dollars going to incarcerate a jaywalker? I mean, some of that is insanity. And again, even beyond the actual sort of the possible transgression, this is about not having a system where we say you're poor, you're guilty, or you're rich, you're innocent. It's about bringing fairness back to our justice system.
Our thanks to Jennifer Kensley, Wendy Calloway, and P.G. Sittenfeld for the discussion today. Just ahead, how we think about and come to terms with death, how one local entrepreneur is creating a lane for herself as an expert in the field. That interview is next. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.